Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new
experiment.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality, the show with host Rebecca L. Norrington, the show that teaches, that shares how to experience more happiness. Let me say this. I am a self-proclaimed happiness specialist. That's right. You heard me right. And how the hell did I get that title? I gave it to myself. I gave it to myself because, listen, when I was younger, you listen to the show, I wanted to live to my potential and I wanted to be happy. And this quest, this never-ending quest, this never-ending, this commitment to this prioritizing happiness, I have to say is in every moment. Every moment of my life, every single moment, that's all I do. I learn how to, and you know, happiness is a skill. It is a developed skill. And when you practice the correct tools, when you practice the correct behavior and eliminate the behaviors that subtract from happiness, guess what? There is a sense of peace and contentment that I promise you will feel. It doesn't happen overnight. Think about any professional out there with a skill. From the athlete, think, my football's back. From the professional athlete to the professional musician, doctor, writer, speaker, it is a skill. And this happiness is the same thing. It is a practiced skill. The more you practice, guess what? The easier it becomes. The more you practice, the more it becomes who you are. Who you are. That's what happens. It's like riding a bike. When you first learned how to ride a two-wheeler, I remember, I'll never forget. You know, my father was behind me, jiggly, jiggly on the wheels, falling down, wobbly, wobbly. And now I can ride a two-wheeler. Same thing with happiness. It is a skill that requires practice. Now, the question is, how much practice and how much commitment are you choosing to devote to happiness? Let me give you my definition. My definition of happiness is to be able to feel and be balanced and be and feel peace and feel content and have this vibration of satisfaction, regardless of what happens outside, regardless of what happens, and regardless of what you think should happen and it's not happening. You know what I'm saying? Things I would like this universe, and guess what? It's not happening. So happiness is being able to be at peace regardless of what happens, and regardless of what doesn't happen. Before I get into the topic of the show, I just want to share with my audience, I thank you for listening. I'm telling you, I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. I don't care how many numbers. I remember teaching a class last week, and there were only four seniors in my class, four seniors, and one of the people in the class could say, oh, there's only four of us. Where is everybody? You know, where is everybody? And honestly, it's never about the numbers. If it's about the numbers, if you are about numbers and how many and how much, that is subtracting from your happiness. It is about a moment-by-moment peaceful foundation. That's what I'm talking about. There, now listen, there was a time, if you listen to last week's show, the before and after, there was a time where if there were four people in my fitness class, I was upset. I was like, oh my God, what a waste of time. Only four people, wow, I wasted my time, wasting my energy. But all of that talk and all of that behavior and all of those thoughts and voicing it and vibrating that a dissatisfaction with a number of people in the class, it had to go because happiness is more important to me. So I don't care if one person listens to the show. I don't care if 100,000 people listen to the show. It really doesn't matter. It's not about numbers. It's not about numbers. I mean, I had to let go of that. I had to let go of it, especially being a happiness specialist. But before I go on, let me just do a little bit of quick advertising here. I am available for talks. I am available for weekend retreats. Contact me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. I'm on Facebook, Reality Spirituality, on YouTube. Search Rebecca Norrington or Reality Spirituality. Also Instagram, Reality Spirituality. Twitter, R.L. Norrington. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be bought on Amazon. And also my second book, Program for Unhappiness, is coming out sometime. One of these days it's going to be published. One of these days it's going to be published. Today's topic, you know, if I claim to be a happiness specialist, I have to walk it. I'm not a talker without being a walker. And one of the things, if you listen to the show, I moved from California to Oregon. And it's been almost a year that I've been in Oregon, and I live in the middle of a forest. I'm surrounded by trees. And I remember when I was 18, I said, oh, I want to live in a forest. I want to live in a forest. Yes. I remember taking the trip to Carmel and Monterey. Oh, gosh, I want to retire and live in a forest. Well, guess what? I got my wish. I'm in the middle of the forest. And I have to say, I'm afraid. I have to say I experienced that emotion. Oh, let me check it. The programmed emotion of fear. It is a program. Well, all emotions are programmed, but this programmed emotion of fear, I can sense it. I can feel it. And one of the reasons why I moved from California, well, the universe just told me, they said, you outgrew California. I didn't have any fear in California. When I was younger, I was afraid of my father, afraid of him spanking me. I had a fear of my father, and then I eventually got over that. You know, when I grew up, got a little bit older, and I was afraid of him. I remember having a relationship, and one of the things that this guy said was, "You don't have any fear," and I didn't. When I was living in California, I could go anywhere. I don't care what part of town. I don't care how late at night. I could walk at night. I traveled by myself, out of the country by myself. I don't have a fear of doing things alone. I don't have a fear of traveling by myself. I don't have any of those fears. But I know how the universe works. I'm speaking for myself. The universe puts me in a place, in a position, to give me exactly what I need to do to grow. So I jumped from California with no fear to living in the forest with fear. Now, what am I afraid of? What am I afraid of in the forest? Well, you name it. I remember when I first got here. There's always something moving out there. There's deer, there's turkey, there's lizards. Oh, Jesus. There was a bat that fell out of one of the umbrellas I have on the deck. Just fell down. The umbrella was closed. Fell down on the table. And I'm looking at it like, what is this brown thing the size of a fist? and it started flying away, and I screamed my head off. I'm telling you, when I first got here, when I first moved to the forest, every time I walked out of the house, there was something that made me jump, whether it was animals, whether it was these bugs out here or on steroids. I've never seen bugs that look like this. These bugs, first of all, the variety is crazy. I've never seen bugs. I mean, these aren't California bugs. California bugs are California bugs are easy. These bugs are monstrous, silver, black, 10 wings, 16 wings. I mean, what the hell? I saw a bug the other day in the garage. Thank goodness he was dead. How do bugs even get in the garage? Because I always keep everything closed and locked up. What am I afraid of? One thing I used to do is I could go outside and take a walk at night. I am not walking out here at night when it's pitch dark. There is absolutely no light except for the moon and the stars, and sometimes that's not very bright. I'm not taking a flashlight out there. I'm not walking outside. I can open my front door and look out, but I'm afraid of the dark in the forest. It's true, and when I tell some of my Oregon students here, they laugh at me. What are you afraid of? Oh, animals. But see, people that we're all so different. I say we're as different as our fingerprints. And oh, to call in and speak with me live is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And share your fears. You know, people have fears of a lot of fears. I remember teaching water classes, and some people are afraid of the deep end. Some people are afraid of water. Some people are afraid of getting in a pool. Some people are afraid of heights. I got that one too, I have to say. But this fear, is it real? Is it real or is it a program? And what I know is all programs, all man-made programs, If I learned a program, I can unlearn it. So I have to let you know that I am in the middle of getting rid of this program fear of the force and the dark. And see, the universe wants the best for me, for you, is there to serve us, is there to nudge the growth, is there to nudge the expansion. The universe, it's like full bloom, full blossom. It's the universe, what am I trying to say? Not promotes it, but is there to encourage the growth. Grow, young whippersnapper, grow. And I know, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I know that the universe, and it doesn't feel comfortable to be afraid of going outside at night. It's pitch black. And what am I afraid of, and how did I get to be so afraid of a forest and the darkness of a forest? I remember when we were younger, we would go to Yosemite as a family every year and camp outside, and you know, if you had to go to the bathroom, you had to walk to the bathroom, and you got the lantern there, and you got the light. But I don't remember going to the bathroom by myself. I might have, yeah, when I got older, I probably did. But I'm telling you, this new fear of this dark forest. So yesterday, I started with my tackling this fear. Tackling this program fear. And why do I say it's a programming? Why do I say it's a program? Answer this question. You put a 6-month-old, 1-year-old baby in the middle of the forest. You actually put their crib right in the middle of the forest at night. the baby's not going to be afraid. Or you take the baby and you put him on the edge. You know, you go to the Grand Canyon. Some people are afraid of heights. I remember David Hawking said he used to be afraid of heights, and eventually he got over it, but he couldn't even go close to the edge and look down. There is a fear of heights. And you put a baby on the edge of the Grand Canyon, they're not going to look down. Oh, I'm afraid of heights. Or you take a baby all the way up to the Empire State Building and look down. Oh, I'm afraid of heights. So you know it's a programming if a baby hasn't been affected or hasn't learned or hasn't been programmed to be afraid. When I talk to people that say that they're afraid of going into the water or afraid of going to the deep end, there's always a story behind it where somebody either they were playing and somebody pushed them under the water. Maybe they had a bathtub incident. Who knows? But this fear, these fears that happen are programmed, and we were not born with this fear. Fear of heights, fear of darkness, fear of the water, fear of traveling alone. All these fears are programmed, and if it is a program, let me tell you something. All programs subtract from happiness. Every single program. So is fear real or is fear an illusion? Now, this thing about fighting your fears, I remember over a decade, 2004, I went to Miraval, which is a spa in Arizona, very, very nice, hoity-toity spa, and I was splurging, it was my birthday, and I gave myself a birthday gift, and of course, Oprah went later. She went a couple years later, she discovered it later, but anyway, I digress, that was my ego coming out. So listen, I'm at this spa, and one of the things that they have are these different exercises to overcome fears, and one of them is rock climbing. You climb on the rock, and I remember doing it, climbing up there with a little safety harness and climbing up, being afraid to climb up on a rock. But you know, I had the safety harness on, and I went with somebody. I remember that, I did that, and then one of the things that really scared the hell out of me, I told you earlier, were heights. And there was this telephone pole, and it was huge. It was so tall. I don't know how tall it was, but there was those tall ladders, those 12-foot ladders. It was higher than that. And I remember climbing up that ladder and calling myself facing my fear of heights. Climbing up that ladder so slow, taking such a long time, and people are waiting for their turn. People are waiting for their turn, and I'm climbing up this ladder, and then I get to the top of the ladder. Now I got to climb up higher on this pole, and on the top of the pole is this little disc where you barely get 2 feet on, and the disc is a little wobbly, and it spins, and I remember just being so afraid. And when I get in those places when I'm so afraid, even jumping off a high dive, when I'm so afraid, I can talk myself into, do it for my son. Face the fear, I can do it. And I always throw my poor boy into it because he's my motivation. If he was watching me, he'd be proud of me. I can do it for Nathan. And so I climbed up to the top of that pole, and I tell you, my eyes were closed. I had to close my eyes. I had to close my eyes. I kept climbing, and I got to the top of the pole, and I stood on the disc. My knees were a little bent, and I did not open my eyes. I did not open my eyes. I was too scared. The point is this. If I did that every single day, do I still have a fear of heights? Hell yes. I'm not climbing up any telephone poles and standing up there and looking down. That was a one-time shot. So when I practice getting over this fear of being in the forest, I'll work on the heights thing later because I mean this is an immediate problem. I'm in the middle of the forest and it gets dark every night. So I got to tackle this now. And it's only a year later and I'm tackling it. I remember when I first moved here, even looking outside, it was just pitch black. I remember even looking into the window just seeing pitch black. I was afraid of that. So, but yesterday I started tackling this fear. It must have been 10:30 at night. I went outside on the deck. I went outside, and the moon was bright yesterday. It wasn't a full moon, but it was very bright. And I could see things, and I walked, took a couple of steps, and I walked, had my hands out, hold my hand, universe, hold my hand. Took a few deep breaths. I must have stayed out maybe 5 minutes, maybe not that long, and I came back in. But I know eventually, because it's a programmed fear, and there is nothing to be afraid of. I don't care what kind of animals in the forest. I mean, I'm not in the jungle. I'm not in Africa. I'm not surrounded by lions or tigers. I'm not surrounded by elephants. But that fear of this forest is real. I could feel it. Or it feels like it's real. How's that? The ego has a program that wants you, me, to feel bad. To feel bad, to feel off balance, the opposite of relaxed, the opposite of satisfied. This fear is a programmed fear. I don't know where I got it from, but I'm telling you right now, that is my new practice. Soon I'm going to walk up and down the deck. Sooner than later, I'm going to walk all the way around the house. And I'm not talking about with a flashlight. Well, I guess I could use a flashlight and eventually get rid of the flashlight. And then walking down to the creek. Oh, gee, I'm going to start crying right now. Ugh. Walk down to the creek and walk back up at night. I'm telling you, that's how committed I am to releasing all of these programmed emotions that are not serving me. Now, do I have to go walk down to the creek? It's a nice walk. Walk down to the creek at night and set up a campfire. Ooh, Lord, I'm getting chills on that one. I mean, if I didn't have any fear, I could. But this is what I'm saying. When you are committed to, when you make a commitment to prioritize happiness, to prioritize peace, to prioritize feeling relaxed and balanced in your life, the things I have to tackle are the things that don't feel good or feel comfortable. I'm going to be fine walking down. I'm going to be okay. I don't have a fear that something's going to happen to me. I really don't. But the darkness and the trees and the blackness, it's scary. What are you afraid of? What are your fears? And are you willing to look at your fears and face the fears and move through it? Now, this thing about climbing up on a telephone pole or jumping off a high dive, it's like I said, that's something that when I say I don't need to address that, it's not an immediate thing that I don't have to climb telephone poles. I mean, if I had that as a job, I'd certainly have to get rid of it. I'd certainly have to address it. But this everyday being in this middle of the forest and not being able to go outside because I'm afraid has to end, has to stop, has to change. Has to. It feels too uncomfortable not to have a change. Now, when I got here, I'm fine being afraid. But almost a year later, no. This has to stop. I'm on a mission. I want to tell you that I'm on a mission to expose the ego. And see, the ego, there's two entities. I always talk about the two entities. And that one with the thoughts and the one with all the words, you know, the words in the head, the senses in the head, all of these things, the ego wants me to believe all of those fears and something's wrong and to stay afraid. But I'm sorry, Mr. Ego, Ms. Ego, I'm sorry. You are not going to win on this one. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I am on a mission to get rid of, to eliminate all programming by the ego. The ego wants the fear to stay. And it is a powerful, let me tell you something. This fear is rooted, I can feel it. It's a deep fear, but it's going to be dug up and it's going to be discarded with. I'll keep you posted on that. Now, I usually do in the news early, but let me do in the news. What's in the news today? Well, what's in the news? I love comedy. I love comedians. Not all comedians, you know, everybody's different. Everybody has different tastes. But there are certain comedians that I just knock down, that make me laugh. I love to laugh. One of my favorite shows on TV is Impractical Jokers. I'm telling you, I laugh out loud every single time I watch that show, Impractical Jokers. That's just my sense of humor. So I'm saying all this to say that there is in the comedian world, there is, I don't know why people have beefs and people look at other people and they criticize them and they point fingers and they put them down. But I guess in the comedy world, that's what happens. I mean, back in the day, Bill Cosby used to get upset with Eddie Murphy for using foul language. I mean, everybody's got something to say about somebody else, which is a subtractor of happiness. Listen, my dear audience, if you are talking negative about anybody else, anyone else, whether they're in your presence or they're not, or you're talking negative about somebody else behind their back with someone else, you are subtracting from your happiness. You are subtracting when you, they call it, having somebody else's name in your mouth. And so now the big beef is, last week, Cat Williams and Tiffany Haddish. Big beef, Cat Williams said something negative about Tiffany Haddish, and I don't know if Tiffany Haddish responded, but Kevin Hart is another comedian, and he and Tiffany Haddish are doing a movie together. So last week there was an interview that Kevin Hart did, and he basically called Cat Williams out. I'm saying all this to say this. In the news, people criticizing, talking about other people in a negative way, you are, this is what you're contributing to the world, number one. Number two, you are subtracting from your happiness. If you want to subtract from your happiness, keep talking about what somebody else is doing. Keep criticizing someone else. And you know where all that comes from? All that criticism comes from self-criticism. You can't criticize someone else without being critical of self. So know that. Know that. I'm just here to check you and just to be aware. You want to be happier. Everybody says they do, but the behavior, your behavior is what determines your happiness, not your words. I'm on a mission to expose the egos. I don't know what, and the bottom line for people criticizing other people, whether it's a comedian, whether it's newscasters, whether it's celebrities, this thing people call beef, whether it's rappers, all of that comes from a self-critical place. Happy people don't criticize. Happy people don't judge. Happy people, and I'm making an observation. I'm not judging. I'm making an observation. Happy people at peace, don't notice what anybody else is doing. Just letting you know that one. One of the things I want to share, too, before, because I keep forgetting, I don't know if I shared this before, but David Hawkins is one of my favorite authors. I mean, I have to say he's my favorite author, my favorite, David Hawkins. That's H-A-W-K-I-N-S, Hawkins. And he's written several books. One of his most popular was Forces versus Power. And this last one, The Eye of the Eye, From Which Nothing is Hidden, is just, it's if you really want a foundation for the truth and to be happier, this man is off the hook. But guess what? I found, or the universe found for me, there are no mistakes here, one of David Hawkins' mentors or teachers, and his name is Lester Levinson, L-E-S-T-E-R Levinson, L-E-V-E-N-S-O-N. And you can find some of his YouTube videos, and a lot of it is just audio, because he was talking this talk, same thing I'm talking, in 1966. And you know there's teachers that teach teachers and teach teachers. And the same thing, and he's talking about happiness, and he's talking about releasing. Oh, I did talk about him. He's talking about releasing these emotions, releasing these programmed emotions. And one of the things that he said, which was really, which is, I want to ask you, you know, what do you want? What do you want in this life? What do you want? You want a lot of money, you want a relationship, you want a certain job, you want to travel, you want health, you want friends. What do you want? What do you really want? What does your soul want? What does your soul really want? Let me give you a hint. How about to be at peace? To be at peace. You are peace. You are peace before all of this programming. You are peace. That's who you are. You're not your thoughts. You're not this ego. You're not this behavior, even the criticism. You're not doing that. That's not who you really are. You weren't born criticizing people, blaming people. That's not who you are. It's to be free, to be you, and what you are is peace. So practice who you are. Don't believe in the hype. Oh, you have a temper. Oh, you're the... Don't believe in what you've been told or what you think about yourself. You are peace, my dear audience. That's who you are. And I know if I'm not feeling peace, I know that it's the ego taking charge, the ego standing up, the ego getting into, ego driving. And I'm about to humble and bust that ego up with walking around outside at night in the forest. Because there is no way that I can be peaceful if the ego is front and center. You want to hear a fun story? Happiness, being at peace, is a practice skill. It's an unlearning. It's a releasing all of those things that have been programmed. You get it. You were not born like this, having fear, blaming, sad, resentful, jealous, angry, Oh, the program of anger. Ooh, and that program of anger is a good one, too. Oh, I was great. Ooh, I was the queen of getting angry. That program of anger. And the thing with that is it can take you over. Blame it on the anger. So this is my last story. Last week, Friday, I volunteer at the senior center. And this particular day, I was subbing a fitness class. I told you there was only four people in the class, a fitness class. And then after that, I was helping in the kitchen. Now, on Fridays, it's a big deal because there's all-you-can-eat buffet for $5. And then after that, I mean, Friday is a long day for those seniors. I don't know how they do it. I'm exhausted after afternoon. I don't know how those seniors have energy to eat and play pinochle and then play bingo at night. I don't know if they all stay the whole day. But anyway, so I'm helping with the food in the kitchen, and we're making potato salad. And when I say potato salad, I mean a big, a kettle. You got to feed 60, 70 people. A big pot of potato salad. Potatoes already boiled. And I'm peeling them. You know, I'm following orders. I'm not a cook, but I'm there to assist. So I'm peeling the potatoes, putting them in a bowl, and then I start chopping up the potatoes. You know, when I say chopping, I'm just, I didn't put them in a bowl yet. They were in that same pot. And I start, you know, just like taking a knife and just cutting through the potatoes, breaking them up. That's what I'm doing. I'm breaking them up. I've made potato salad before. I know how to make potato salad. But what I didn't know and what I didn't get was that people have their own potato salad. People have a way that they want their potatoes to look. Now, I've seen potato salad that's on the creamy side. I've seen potato salad that's on the chunky side. And I've seen potato salad cube where the potatoes aren't that soft. And these are soft potatoes. And I'm just cutting through. I'm just doing what I usually do. Now, the cook that was she was the lead cook. She actually I'm not even going to talk about that. So she looks at what I did, and she says, she used this word, she says, "What are you doing? You've annihilated the potatoes. I can't use those potatoes." Now, they weren't mashed. They were broken up. She says, "You're supposed to cube them." And she's yelling at me. She's yelling at me. I can't use these potatoes. And she gets, because I was slicing through them at the top, but at the bottom there were still maybe some half potatoes that hadn't been broken up yet because I hadn't gotten that far. Anyway, whatever. English. So she looked, and I said, "Well, I can save a few of them." And listen, I go into humble mode. I am not letting somebody yell at me, scream at me. I don't care for what reason. I'm not taking anything personally because that's what I practice, nothing personal. She's upset because her potato salad, she wanted everything cubed. I didn't know, and I felt really, really, I felt terrible. Or should I say my ego felt terrible. And I did the apologies. I'm sorry. I said, "I'll bake another batch of potatoes." You know, what were there? 15 potatoes. I said, I'll boil some more potatoes. I'll start afresh. Because she kept saying, "This can't. What can we do with this? This is mashed potatoes. This isn't." And I said, "I'll make some more potatoes." I'm always into finding solutions. I said, "I'll make some more potatoes. I'll boil some more potatoes." I took the potatoes. I started scrubbing some new potatoes out. I was going to boil some more potatoes and do it all over again. I didn't care. I'm good because what? Honey, between peace and anger and peace and drama, I'm choosing peace every single moment. And I must have apologized I don't know how many times as I'm scrubbing some new potatoes. Finally, because, you know, like I said, they were broken, but they just weren't cubed. They weren't, I mean, I know people cube potatoes, but to me, that's, I'm not working that hard. I'm not going to do that. I was making the potato salad like I make it. Anywho, the bottom line of that story is, if anyone's yelling at you, if anyone's angry at you, if anyone's directing their anger and their temper at you, you always know that that is really, they're really directing all of that to themselves. Pretend that is just a boomerang of words. Never take it personally. Never get angry by it. Never get affected by it. And you can't blame anybody. When I said I felt bad because not that I did the and listen, that's another thing. Don't think that that anger that she displayed had anything to do with me and the potatoes and how the potatoes were cut or not cut or broken up. Don't buy into the hype that these people are mad at something that you did or these people are mad at something that you said. And that goes back to you. If I'm upset or feeling a certain way, it has nothing to do with her yelling. It has nothing to do with the potatoes not being cubed. It has something to do with an internal vibration that whatever that is, and no judgment here, just realize that that internal vibration is what's going on. It's nothing external. I don't care if they're calling you your name out. Their emotion, their anger, their frustration, if they throw it at you, let it slide off like Teflon. And so later on, it was funny because, you know, of course, I get the apology and I get all that. But there was no apology necessary because what she was doing was expressing how she was feeling about herself in that moment. You follow me? And when you know these people are expressing themselves and they're feeling this way, it's easy to point and say it's because of the potatoes and they weren't cubed. But it's not that. That goes for me too. It's easy. Now, is it the forest? Is it the forest is why I'm fearful? I have no idea. But I'm telling you this. Am I going to blame the forest for me being afraid? No, but there is an energy that I know that I am ready to release and let go of. And I'm not doing it by myself. Don't think that I'm in here by myself. Don't think that you're in here by yourself. Ask the universe for help. My question to the universe is, how do I release this fear of the forest? How do I release this fear of the dark? How do I feel peaceful in the forest at night? How can I walk down to the creek and not be afraid at night? That's it. I'm not going to struggle with this. There's no need to struggle. You ask what you want, what you need. I'm not talking about asking for a car or asking for money. I'm talking about a consciousness. You know what I'm talking about, universal shit. Ask for the universal stuff, and you will get it. Just be patient. You will get it. Whatever date this is, I can't wait to write this down because I don't know how long it's going to take, but I know whatever I ask for, the universe gives me back. And this letting go of this fear thing, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Hey!
Yeah. Is fear real or is it an illusion? I say it's an illusion. I say it's a programmed emotion. What does that mean? That means if it was programmed, it can be deprogrammed. That's what that means. You're listening to Reality Spirituality. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time Visit my website at RebeccaNorrington.com, RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. YouTube channel is out there. Yes, I have a few videos on the YouTube channel. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon.com. Second book, Program for Unhappiness, will be out one of these days. Until next time, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You're a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient, and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. It is about the moment. Have a conscious week. I love you, audience. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality, spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some. Baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.